Yet at the same time, you are right here with us. You, dearest Lord, you defy description with mere human words. You are what you are, and you are something in so many ways different than us. You are holy. You are mighty. You are merciful and kind, and you are loving. Father God, in this moment, we just thank you for the season of worship we've had. And we ask you to join us now, Lord God, as we continue to follow after you and the worshiping of you through the studying of your word. Let this time be beautiful. Let it be meaningful. We love you, Lord. In your son's name, amen. Brothers and sisters, in your bulletin, you have an outline that has 2 points on it. And I was going to be nice to you guys today and only give you a 2-point sermon. How about that? Well, things have changed. It's going to be a 1-point sermon. Point number 2 is going to be part 2 next week. But don't worry, we will print you up a fresh outline for next week. But today you get 1 point with a few anecdotes, a couple stories. But today is the Lord's Supper. We're going to share together, have the bread and the cup as a church family. So we want to make sure that we have enough time to appropriately attend to the moment that is before us. But today we have reached in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, which says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places." Now, brothers and sisters, here, the Apostle Paul, in this letter to the church at Ephesus, he prays that believers would understand the immense power of God available to them. He describes this power as the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Today, as we look at this first of these two great truths, the first of these two great truths is that the greatness of God's power in us. What can it accomplish in us? And then the greatest display of God's power, he rose Jesus from the grave. So this is going to be a 2-part sermon, as I mentioned, but we have to look at this. We have to couple these two ideas together. We often ask ourselves, what can God do? How can God move? How can God touch me? How can God change me? By what means will he accomplish these things in my life? The same means by which he raised Christ from the grave. It is this greatest expression in bringing one back from the dead that we as his people understand he can do all things through those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Amen? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Because Christ is the living embodiment of the very power of God that even the grave has no hold over. But this first point, the greatness of God's power in us, Paul speaks of the exceeding greatness of God's power towards those who believe. The exceeding greatness. This is not just only power, but the very power of God himself, a power that is exceedingly great. Now, I know I've already shared that word a few times now, but are you catching that, the use of the word exceedingly? Some of you might know another passage of scripture that I'm very fond of, and that's that we are overwhelmingly more than what? Conquerors through Christ who loves us. Brothers and sisters, it is this idea here that is gifted to us in the scripture, gifted to you and I through God's holy word, that there is this exceedingly, overwhelmingly powerful and possible power that is open to us with God, the power that is greater than the grave, the power that is greater than all things, the power that is in fact, and this ought to tickle your soul when I say it and you start to understand it, a power that is greater than your greatest adversary, yourself. And it's also greater than our greatest adversary, the devil. In God, all authority has been granted unto us, the scripture says. But let's look, though, for just a moment, though, at this idea of this exceeding greatness. I'm going to give you a little Greek lesson, if that's all right. As you look at this passage, you see that it talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. Now, this first part here, this exceeding word, many of you have heard me when we've spoken about the parables. Whenever we come to the parables, I'll always mention the word parable is a compound word in Greek from the word para and balo. Para means alongside in this context, and balo means I throw. Whenever Jesus would say a parable, what he was doing is he was walking along with them and an incident would arise and he would throw a story alongside that went with the moment. And his story would end up creating an object lesson out of the situation in life. And it would cause people even as dense as I am, to go, oh, I see. But at the same time, since the stories that he would throw alongside was the very truth of God, sometimes even the mighty, the rich, and the wise would be, I don't get it. We now come to this word surpassing, which in like manner to parable is a compound word. And it comes from two words. And the first word is hooper, from which we get hyper. And the next word is balo, which means, anyone listening? I throw. Hooper balo is the word for surpassing. It's not just throwing. It's throwing amazingly far and fast. It's not just, allow me to share this with you. No, this is like taking off like a train. Hyperbolo. It is being thrown alongside in a hyperistic manner. And this is the word surpassing. And then we come to the next word, greatness. This comes from a very difficult word that you might not understand. Mega. The word for big is mega. And in this case, the completed word is megathesis. Greatness. This overwhelmingly, highly fast, surpassing greatness. And then comes that one Greek word that many Christians know. Dunamis. Which means, is where we get the word dynamite from. But it means power or ability. So sometimes when this word is preached on, it comes up in certain passages, like, for instance, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it contains the very power unto salvation. It uses the word dunamis there. And here it also uses this word dunamis. The greatest translation, the most accurate, is probably ability. Why do we call dynamite? Why do we name it dynamite after this Greek word dunamis? Because dynamite has great ability. What kind of ability does it have? The ability to move mountains. So although dynamite came after this Greek word, from which it gets its name, we understand why dynamite is called dynamite. So in this context, what we have is this super hyperistic throwing alongside of this overwhelmingly surpassing greatness. But what is this greatness that we're talking about? The ability to do all things. The ability to move mountains. Hyperbolo megathesis dunamis. It's kind of a big deal. It kind of helps you to understand. Paul was trying to get something across to him. He didn't just say, there's this power. He didn't just say, there's this cool trait that we have in God. He didn't just say, hey, look, you're going to be able to, you know, feel a little better about yourself or something when in this one called Christ. But no, he builds a mountain to try to explain what the greatness of God is like. And then at the end of it, he compares this hyperbolic megathesis dunamis power to what? The same power with which God raised Christ from the grave. You can't talk about the power that brought Christ back from the grave in a dismissive or diminutive manner. Amen? It was the very hand of God that reached down and plucked our Lord and Savior back up out of Sheol, out of the land of the grave, and allowed him to place himself on display in front of his disciples and his followers. It is this power that brought Christ back from the grave that is available to you and I. The very power of the Lord God Almighty. We live in a day and an age where God is often treated in a trivial manner. But you have to understand that this God, our God, I'm getting a call from Romania right now. Can you believe it? It's like, come on, guys, look at your clocks. I know you're far away, but it's one of my translators in Romania is calling me right now. If there's ever been a time I just wanted to put it on speaker. You called me in church, buddy. What you want? But anyways, as I was saying, we live in a day and age where a lot of people wish to treat God with a laissez-faire kind of a manner, a dismissive kind of manner. They like to jest about him and make jokes about him. I mentioned to you the other week that the very first picture that we have recording of Jesus Christ being on the cross was a Roman graffiti on the side of a wall where they have a cross with a man hanging on it with a donkey's head. And they were calling it the God that this one person at the house worships. From the very beginning, people have tried to mock us for what we have. But brothers and sisters, if you have met God, if you have come into contact with God, you know you cannot dismiss the person of God. He is amazing, he is powerful, he is glorious, and he is loving. And he has opened up his arms as wide as they can, and he wishes to wrap them around you in a manner in which you have never been held before. And he wishes to share his great love and his great power with you in so many ways. Now, brothers and sisters, when we talk about this megathesis, dunamis type of power, I have to share, and I have shared with you all honestly, this last year and a half in so many ways has been one of the darkest periods in my whole life, wrestling with my health on almost a daily basis, wondering how much longer the good Lord's going to allow me to stay on this earth, how much longer I'm going to get to preach his gospel or play with my dogs or love my wife and my kids, how much longer am I going to have? And some days, it doesn't feel like it's going to be long. And other days, feels like I might hang around for a week or two. And I'm saying that jestingly. But at the same time, throughout my entire life, oh my goodness, I have walked many paths and I have tried to wear many personas over the years. There were times when I was egotistical and prideful. There were times when I wanted to be the muscle-bound meathead. There have been so many, the professor, the scholar, the administrator. There have been so many ways, shapes, and form in my life where I have tried to fit into grooves, where I've tried to be what people thought I was supposed to be at this stage or at that stage in my life. And what I have to tell you is this. Sometimes it gets very hard because in me, at this stage of life, what I am is a lover of people. I love people and I love them passionately. And as I know you have heard me say many times over this last year, there is no one on the face of this earth that I wish any ill will towards at all. But I do hope and pray that all of them will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But for those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who I get to call my brothers and sisters, there is a love that I have that is overwhelming. And one of the reasons why I say this all the time is because there was once upon a time in my life that love wasn't there. And I found out that in my life, one of the things about God that is so amazing with this hyperbolic, megathesis, dunamis type of power is that he was able to take an egotistical, prideful young man and turn him into somebody whose heart literally jumps when he hears good news about a brother or a sister. God's great and amazing power is the type of power that has the ability to tear down the walls in your heart. To tear down the barricades that you have built up against being loving or affectionate or receiving love or affection or being kind. We respond in so many ways because of the things that have happened to us in this life. We can respond with hatred and animosity or dirty looks or nastiness as people offer those things at us. Where I am at a stage in my life that when people say for actor, not that anyone ever would, amen. But if somebody was to say anything to me along the lines of that I hate you or I don't like you or give me a dirty look, I want to say back to them, and I love you anyways. If somebody wants to be nasty, let that be only upon them. Don't let it be a part of who you are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And know that this hyperbolo megathesis dunamis of God is open unto you, and he is able to change your heart. He is actually able to make you love your enemies. If you would just allow yourself to let this type of dunamis go to work in your life. This power is available to all who believe. It is not reserved for a select few, but is given to every child of God. The only challenge as child of God is, will you partake in it? One of my challenges over this last year and a half, where I said that all that I really want to be is a lover of people, and one of the things that I love to do is encourage people, I have found that sometimes it's very difficult to be encouraging when you don't feel encouraged. And then I sometimes have had to challenge myself, oh, encourager, where does your encouragement come from? You lecture yourself, and you're like, God, you know. And yes, there is a source of our strength that is outside of us, that is beyond us, that rains down from heaven in glory. And again, this power is available to all who believe. When we place our faith in Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and he empowers us to live victoriously. And this power, it strengthens us in our trials. Life brings challenges. And I have found, well, but the same power that sustained Jesus through his suffering, it now has an opportunity to go to work in our lives. We can face hardships. We can face temptation and opposition with confidence, knowing that God's strength is sufficient for us, says 2 Corinthians 12:9. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. And the reason why I shouldn't say it is because the person's here. In both incidences of what I'm about to say. In my younger days, as most all of you know, I was it's hard to really explain because the circle that I was in is different than what most people think of. But basically, I was an amateur fighter, a tournament fighter. And being somebody that grew up studying the fighting arts, you know, you get this point where you get a little reactionary. You know, something happens, and all of a sudden you're up on the tip of the balls of your feet. You're like, what was that? What was that? Well, there's this lovely lady in our church. Her name's Linda Hollis. Y'all know her? Did she go to nursery or is she still in here? Because I would just love to embarrass her right now, but I guess she's not here at the moment. But Linda Hollis, I tell you what, she's got the feet of a ninja. Even though I'm a guy that's like always on the lookout, like, you know, whatever, I'm in a building alone or whatever, I'm like, what did I hear? What was that? She has snuck in on me so many times, and I'll just like turn around in my chair and she'll be standing and I'll be like, ah, you know. But I'll tell you what, I don't think it was always on accident. Because one time I was in the kitchen in the fellowship hall, and I turned around for no reason, and she was about halfway through the fellowship hall, and she looked like this. She was just trying to see if she could do it again. She was trying to see if she could make me react in my normal, because she'd get a big kick out of it. And, you know, Linda's a very smart lady. She has her head screwed on right, without a doubt. I love that lady so much. But she also knows that whenever she would be like, Pastor, she'd always do it where she was just far enough away in case I was like, ah, you know, or something. It was a reaction, a trained response. I tell you, these days I am becoming such, I don't know, a mush bag. I don't even know what to say about it. But I had a moment this last week that when I was asking, like, but what about when the encourager's down? Where does the encourager's encouragement come from? I had a friend who was struggling with a health issue. And we bumped into each other. And I heard, she told me the words, I don't want to narrow this down too much, but basically, I'm all clear. And as soon as I heard that, without even thinking about it, I put the fastest headlock hug on her than I ever did in any tournament. Couldn't even help myself. I probably should have asked for permission. Might have scared the life out of her. Who knows? But as soon as I heard, I couldn't even help myself. It was just like that. Why? Because I care about this person. Why? Because I care about people. Why? Because I love good news. Why? Because what encourages the encourager? When I see God doing good things in other people's lives, that is one of the biggest encouragements that you can ever give an encourager. But brothers and sisters, there has to be, if the encouragement is going to be of God's kingdom, it's got to be born out of love. And I need to challenge you all in love to love one another and to love one another unashamedly. I don't just mean love your husband or your wife or your kids, but I mean love your neighbor as you love yourself. I mean love your brothers and sisters in Christ more than you love yourself. Allow yourself the freedom and the opportunity to be set free in love. And I love it when I say stuff like that to people, and people be like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. What don't you know? That you'd rather flounder around in apathy or animosity, maybe even hold on to a little bit of hate for this person or that person, hold a grudge against this person that wronged you over here in this one time. All of the nastiness that you have ever received from this world, it's on the world. But you, in Christ, being able to stand strong in the person of Christ, in his hyperbolo, megathesis, dunamis type of power, the only thing that is required of you is to have a willing heart, because let me tell you, Jesus Christ does not hold back. Amen? You just need to have your heart in the right place and learn to love unashamedly. And lastly, this power enables us to serve and witness. As I mentioned, two things happened to me in recent times. One, Linda Hollis likes to scare the tar out of me and make me react. But one of the happiest moments for me was when I reacted so quickly in a loving manner. No stopping, no thinking, just love, just care, just concern. We get to that point when we like get in sports and stuff like that, and our reflexes get to a certain point that we might applaud ourselves a little bit or be happy because we can do this or that. I'll tell you what, church family, be happy when this kind of power, the power of God, comes alive in your life and tears down the walls and teaches you how to love with a love more pure than anything you've ever experienced. This is how we change the world. This is the power that enables us to serve and witness. Jesus told his disciples, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you," in Acts 1:8. The gospel is not just words. It is the power of God unto salvation, says Romans 1:16. We must recognize and rely on this power daily. Too often as Christians, we live as though we are weak. We live as though the greatest of all attributes and characteristics that we have, that of love, is somehow the least to be praised, when rather it ought to be the most highly praised. We forget that the Spirit of God dwells within them. Lastly, on this issue of reflex. Yesterday, I had a couple of hour-long conversation with my AI bot in my phone, ChatGPT 4.0. Had about a two-hour conversation with it on God and man and so on and so forth. And at first, I was like, wow, it's pretty amazing. But over the course of time, I kept asking questions, and it would ask me questions, and I'd ask it questions and make statements, and it would ask me a question. And after a while, I said to it, I said, your answers seem a little formulaic. It seems like you restate what I say and then ask a question about what I just said every time. And it replied back, correct. And said, although I have access to almost the entire wealth of knowledge that man has ever put into print, I do not think freely. I do not make rational thoughts. I only deduce. It only reacts. Brothers and sisters, in our day and age right now, there's a lot of people out there that are scared of AI and what it's going to do. And I got to tell you, it's crazy. The new quantum mechanics that are going on, you know, all of our computers, every supercomputer we've ever had, works in a series of ones and zeros. Something about quantum mechanics, which I don't understand, is somehow in quantum mechanics, any digit can be one or the other or both at the same time. And it has opened up a level of computing that is just beyond insane. And in fact, I don't understand the lingo, but according to the story that I read, which was written by somebody that knows a lot more about the topic than I do, for the first time ever, something amazing happened. Two computers, both running quantum mechanics software in it, teleported information from one computer to the other. I didn't say email, okay? I didn't say a disk or a floppy or anything else. Somehow or another, they teleported information, meaning it was here and now it's over there. I don't know the lingo. I don't know what it means. That kind of stuff is way beyond me. But what's not beyond me, and what I have studied and worked on my whole life, is that you, brothers and sisters, are intelligent, and you are not artificial. You are real, and you do not need to be reactionary. That's what artificial intelligence is. It reacts to what you do and to what you say. Brothers and sisters, you in Jesus Christ have the opportunity to be proactive. You get to wake up in the morning and decide, today I'm going to live this day for Christ. Today I'm going to be an encouragement to those on my left and my right and in front of me and behind me. Today I am going to share unashamedly the love that Jesus Christ wants to offer for a lost world. And I'm going to do the best to live my life in such a way that they can look at me and hear the words that I say and know that that these two truths line up, that Jesus Christ changes lives. You can be proactive, brothers and sisters. You can be ministers in your own right throughout the day. Brothers and sisters, as we have examined this first point on the greatness of God's power in us, we have barely begun to scratch the topic. What can God do through you? Brothers and sisters, what can't God do through you? The answer simply is nothing. The only thing that's required, as the scripture says, your burnt offerings and your many sacrifices I did not desire, declares the Lord. The sacrifice that I desire is a broken and contrite heart. Will you pray with me? Our most beautiful Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, having looked at the truth of your word and having tried to apply it to our lives here and now. Father God, I pray for this room right now. Only you truly know the condition of our hearts, dear God. But dear God, my prayer is this. If there is even one person here today that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, that has never prayed to ask Jesus into their hearts, that very shortly from now, they will walk this aisle and pray with me or someone else, dear God, and they will receive your Son as Savior. And I pray, dear God, that you will allow your love to come alive inside of them. I also pray, dear God, that if there is any Christian in here today, someone who has walked with your son, but has wandered or who has been hurt, I ask you, dear God, to mend them. If they need to rededicate their lives, let it be so, dear Lord. But Father God, I just pray that your hands would touch them, mend them, heal their hurt, and set them back on their feet, a man or a woman of God, ready to proactively serve you in this world, dear Lord. And I also pray, dear God, that if there is any other decision to be made that glorifies you, let it be made here and now. We love you, Lord. In your son's name, amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?